Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 37 for March 8th, 2008. Skyler's Monster. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations.
It's time for Jumping Monkeys. In a 3, 2...
Well, oh, wait a minute. The tape's already rolling.
Oh, dear.
Why do I say that?
The Jumping Monkeys or the 3, 2, 1?
No, the anachronistic tape's already rolling.
Yeah, there's no tapes. Nothing's rolling.
It's like dialing a phone, taping a show. Sometimes we say filming a TV show.
Right. Well, there is that little line running across your screen that looks like it's kind of rolling
a little bit.
It's rolling across the
screen. That's me and that's you.
Yeah. I'm so much bigger than you.
That's because you're processed by Aphex. You're getting special treatment.
Nice.
I'm getting special treatment. Can I tell you about what I'm doing tonight?
Yes, you can.
Even though it will be, by the time this airs, it will have been over. But I'll tell you next week how it did. You ever heard of Jonathan Colton?
Yes.
Code Monkey?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was very off key. I don't even think that was the melody.
I don't think it was either, but we've know Code Monkey.
I could play a little bit of it. Anyway, Joko, as my friend Merlin Mann, or Merman, as I call him, calls him. So Merman calls Joko. Anyway, he's coming to town. He'll be in town tonight at the Great American Music Hall. And this is the exciting thing. He wrote, maybe you know this, maybe you don't. There's a Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 game called Portal. It's part of the Orange Box. And the Orange Box is really cool. And Portal is like a puzzle game. It's not, you're not shooting anybody. It's really neat. I love it. But at the end, so it's got a real sense of humor and some real wit in it all along. For instance, I think at one point it says, "Did you know you can donate your organs to help girls with their self-esteem? Ask at the front." Anyway, it's funny. It's like that. At the end, there's this very fun, ironic song called Still Alive that's kind of your victory lap. And he wrote it. Joko wrote it. Now, here's the other side of that. And it's a great song. In fact, I could play a little bit of it. It's called Still Alive. It's really wonderful. But anyway, have you heard of a game called Rock Band?
No.
Oh, wait till you have teenagers. You've heard of Guitar Hero.
Guitar Hero, I've heard of.
Rock Band's from Activision. It's like Guitar Hero, only it's a whole band.
Oh.
And kids love this, but it's $250 because you got to not only buy the game, you have to buy a microphone, a guitar, and a drum kit and a bass.
Oh.
But they're not real instruments. They're game controllers.
Yeah, I was going to say all that and a guitar for only $250. That'd be pretty
it's
nice.
It's ridiculous. But it's a bestseller. It's huge. And I think it's a whole new category of games, these party games.
Yeah.
People love this idea of socially getting together. Mm-hmm. The Wii really started that. But
didn't the Dance Dance Revolution kind of start that?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
And that was in the arcades originally. Mm-hmm. But just the idea of everybody playing together is kind of nice instead of this solitary button mashing, you know.
Definitely.
So, they're going to, so at the end of the game, where am I now? Oh, yeah, at the end of the game, they play Still Alive. So they're going to add Still Alive to Rock Band. And so Joko is playing in town tonight. And at the, now, this is the thing that can't be, you can't tell anybody until after 11 o'clock tonight. You can, folks, because it's like it happened a long time ago.
11 o'clock tonight, you can, tell whoever you want.
Tell anybody you want. You will be so excited to tell them this. So I'm going down now. We're going to rehearse on the stage at the Great American Music Hall. Here's the song a little bit. We're going to rehearse. I'll turn this down. This is kind of the end of the game. You've just finished the game. And the bad guy.
And you're still alive.
You're still alive. So we're going to, as his encore for his concert, Merlin Mann, Veronica Belmont, and I, and Jonathan Colton are going to come on stage with the little teeny dinky Rock Band instruments, and we're going to perform the song. He's going to sing it, and we're going to perform the song. And nice. I'm going to be, so I said, you know, you understand I have no musical ability. I've never played this game before. I really haven't. I've seen people play it. I've never played it. He said, well, we'll let you play the bass. Anybody can play the bass.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to go see that.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited. So anyway, that's tonight.
That
and I'll
is
let you
exciting.
Know how it goes. I've never been able, you know. I'm actually tried to back out of it this morning.
Really? But
I'm
they
terrified.
Wouldn't let you. Well, you perform all the time.
Yeah, but I don't play an instrument and this is a concert. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, but I'll be rooting for you.
As Merlin Mann says, everybody's going to be looking at Veronica anyway, so it doesn't much matter.
That's true. Yeah. Can I tell you who our guest is for today?
I'm sorry. I've been monopolizing the show. Enough about
That's okay.
me. What about
it's,
you?
Today, we're going to be talking to Robert Rummel Hudson. I'm really excited to
You're
talk
excited
to him.
About this, yeah.
I am. Yeah, he is a blogger. And almost calling him a blogger, it's just almost not enough. But he's been writing online since 1995.
He's a writer.
He's an online diarist. And in 1999, his daughter Skylar was born, and they found out a few years, well, they found out when she's, they realized that she wasn't speaking. They finally got a diagnosis after many years and many doctor's appointments of a brain malformation.
Oh, really? So it wasn't just that she was talking late. She
no.
actually had a condition.
Yeah. And they, you know, they thought it was hearing problem, but it wasn't
right.
that. It was just that she couldn't speak. And he wrote about this experience online, and they did a lot of research to find out what they could do about this. And they found this device that was super expensive, and they really couldn't afford it. And the school was going to buy this other device that wasn't as good. And he wrote something about it online and raised the money, raised $10,000 in 5 weeks. For this device, just from bloggers, just small donations
oh, isn't
from,
that neat?
I mean, not from bloggers, but people reading his blog.
Yeah. Oh, that's so neat.
So he is going to tell us his story, and he has a new book called Skylar's Monster
yeah.
by St. Martin's Press.
And you read this and you loved
it. I did. It
yeah.
is a, he is a great writer. And you know what he's managed to do, which is amazing. I'm always suspicious when a blogger writes a memoir because you think, well, what's there that I haven't already read?
Mm-hmm.
But he really is able to tell more of the story. And, you know, that's why I say he's just more than a blogger because, you know, blogs are just these little short kind of things. But he really weaves it into a real wonderful memoir of a father's you know, journey.
So this isn't like excerpts from the blog. This is a whole another thing.
Well, it's the same, you know, it's the same story, but it is a whole nother thing.
Yeah,
it's not just,
rewrote it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's interesting. I mean, with all these people writing now, I mean, it's millions of people blogging. I wonder if we're going to see more and more new writers come up because they have a medium, you know, and,
yeah.
then, and maybe some of them will
I guess. But I mean, I know some of them have done it, but not as well. I think, you know,
right.
there's a lot of.
Well, I'm not saying it doesn't take skill, but the more people who essay it and who spend time doing it, because
right.
you always get better at whatever you're doing.
Right, exactly.
You know, I realize I just read the Steve Martin autobiography, Born Standing Up, which is a great audible.
Yeah.
I was listening to it. Steve reads it.
Uh-huh.
And I realized, you know, he was an overnight success that took 10 years.
Right.
It takes 10 years to get good at something.
Yeah.
And 10 years of doing, he was doing 5 shows a day for 10 years.
Yeah.
And so I think the blogging, the more you write, the better your writing is going to be.
Right.
And if you have that innate ability, it's going to develop. And maybe we're going to see more writers than ever before, I think. I think the same
I
thing
hope
true
so.
Of photographers. We're seeing that with digital photography.
Right.
With filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you can do these things.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's great.
So Robert Rummel Hudson, we will be talking to him later
on. What
a
cute picture on the cover. Is that Skylar?
That is Skylar.
That's his daughter. Oh,
yeah.
She's adorable.
Yeah.
And it's a good picture because she's kind of giggling with her hand over her mouth,
uh-huh.
but also it's that double meaning of
right.
unable to speak. So
yeah.
that's neat.
So we have
He'll
some poll results.
Yes.
He will be with us soon.
So let's
soon,
get
but
some
let's,
results in
Do
here.
You want to
yeah.
do some poll results now? A few weeks ago, we asked how many parents should a baby have? And that was
such
sort
a good
of
question.
A tongue-in-cheek question. And it was in reference to a study that was reported in the journal Nature about how they're getting closer, not that close, but closer to the three-parent baby by using mitochondria from a third person to add to cells of a woman whose egg's mitochondria was damaged in some way.
Right.
So it would, you basically,
right.
you'd have three biological parents.
Well, we're in strong agreement here. It's pretty clear.
So what are the results that you see?
I see right now. And of course, this will change as people. By the way, I love the look of it. Did you redesign your blog?
I did.
It's
yeah.
beautiful.
Thank you. You haven't visited in a while. I redesigned January 1st.
You're kidding me.
No.
Well, I just didn't notice. I visit it every week when
every
we do the show. So
every
I just,
week.
You know, it's like a haircut. It's like my wife. I'll say, did you get your haircut? She said, yeah, 3 days ago. So did you redesign your blog? Yeah, a month ago, 2 months, 3 months ago. So So the choices were one, two, or three.
One,
and that's
kind of
tongue-in-cheek. Mm-hmm. I mean, because sometimes you might say two or three or
right.
two plus three or four or five. Mm-hmm. But 3.8% said one. 84.8% said two. 11.4% said three.
Yeah, I would have voted for the three just to have an extra person around. But, you know, I got some email from...
Well, okay. So it's not merely mitochondria here.
Yes.
You're looking for housework
right.
help.
Right, okay. Exactly. Yes.
If had you said that, I might have voted for eight.
Yes. And I was talking about, you know, biological parents. You know, I got an email from someone who had adopted a child and was close to the birth, both birth mother and birth father.
That
and that
counts.
Was four,
That's
which
four.
We didn't give an answer for four. So
this was tongue in cheek.
Yes.
Don't take it. Don't analyze it.
But I think the number of someone might have said this actually sent me an email. I might not have made this up, but the number of parents a child should have is the number of parents that
they
that
have.
Child has. Yes.
Perfect answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's the right answer. Unless it's none.
Right.
That would be sad.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to something happier. We can do our spin, save, give now.
My son wants no parents. But okay.
He does.
Wouldn't be sad for him.
Each week we talk about one way to spend your money, one way to save your money, and one way to give it back. So the first one is a present I actually bought for Annabella for her birthday. I thought it was so cute. It's from polkadotpatch.com. It's a little t-shirt that says president, not princess.
This addresses that princess controversy.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Annabella's sort of moving out of the princess stage and she can't yet read. So I think I can get away with this shirt for a while. Although it's red, not pink, and she might not wear it. So
pretty. And they have onesies too.
Yeah. Yeah. For the little ones.
That's
yeah.
Great.
So I thought that was pretty cute.
I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else they have.
Polka Dot Patch is a retailer of cute little independent baby clothes.
Oh, they have one for mommy's running partner, and it's a three-wheel running stroller.
Oh,
that's cute.
Stroller, that is cute.
I see kids in these funny t-shirts all the time.
Yeah,
now.
The funny t-shirt. We are in the era of the funny t-shirt.
Hey, I like this one. This isn't funny. This is sweet. Take me on adventures. And it has two tents.
That is cute.
That's for what we were talking about last time.
Yeah,
going
go outside. Yeah. All right. Now save. I don't know if you've heard about this. This is an interesting new concept. It's called Baby Plays, and it's basically Netflix for toys.
Great idea.
Isn't this an interesting idea? My dad told me about this. He saw it on the Today Show. So you out there listening maybe have already heard about it. But what
did
you do...
Did you see Kat on the Today Show this week?
I didn't. No.
Yeah,
was she talking
Al
about this?
She's talking about Bluetooth.
Oh. I don't think Kat was talking about this. My parents also tell me when they see Kat or Becky or anyone on the Today Show or Good Morning America.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know who's a star now? Erica Hill.
On CNN.
She's like Anderson Cooper's co-host.
Is she really?
I haven't
watched CNN in a long time.
Erica Hill was our news person for Call for Help for a while, and she, of course, did Tech Live. In fact, I co-anchored with her during the 911 thing.
Yeah.
I remember how emotional it was for both of us, and I think there was a point where she couldn't even talk. It was so hard. She's a very wonderful person, very sweet. She went to CNN Headline News. She's been promoted to New York. And she looks fantastic.
And she's a good, she's a sweet, funny, I really liked her.
Smart.
Yeah,
and what I take a little bit of credit for what she's doing with Anderson is kind of the back and forth that she and I used to do on Call for Help.
Mm-hmm.
And she had that sassy style and she's doing it to, she's sassing Anderson.
Yeah, you
it's
look
great.
A little like Anderson Cooper.
I have the white hair. I look like Anderson Cooper with jowls.
Anyway,
he's going to look like this in 20 years, Cooper.
Let's talk about how Baby Plays works.
Yes.
What you do is it's for kids ages 0 to 5, and you rent toys for 6 months, and then you send them back. So you go online.
6 months.
Yeah, 6 months.
Not a month.
No. You go online, you choose the toys you think your child is going to like, you keep them for 6 months, and then you send them back. And, you know, I think that's interesting because a lot of toys you think your child is going to like, they do not like at all.
But then you're stuck with it for 6 months. Wait a minute. Oh, I see. Oh, say, there's different plans.
Oh, you could do it for like 3 months.
There's 3 months, yeah. So there's four toys a month. Commitment length is 3 months. Oh, no, you could do it per month. And the rate is 36. So do you send them back if you're done with it?
Like, or you can buy them if you really like them.
You can keep the toys you get from Baby Plays for as long as you like. As long as you're an active member. At the end of the month, you may send back the toys. See, that's, I think, a good idea because, as you say, sometimes you don't know what they're going to like it.
Yeah.
But also, I think rotating the toys is good, too.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I think this is an interesting idea. Sorry, I got the
Do they clean the saliva off?
They sterilize all of them with Clorox. So I think it's interesting. Here's my issue with it. I don't think I've bought really a single toy for my children, all three. Maybe I've bought like two or
you
three.
You are such a cheapskate. What do you do? Make a play in a box?
They get so many toys.
Yeah.
My parents
presents.
And Marco's parents yeah. and friends, and we get hand-me-down toys yeah. and we have so many toys. And I just can't imagine adding any more
in
there.
You should start a business called Baby Plays
right,
by
and
Megan.
Given, yes. Do you want my toys? Yeah, I do actually
them out.
Do
that's
that.
That's probably how this started.
But yeah, I know. But that's sort of thing. And also the idea, especially toys with small parts, the idea of having to keep them, I imagine I would end up really not being able to send back a lot of stuff because they just get lost or broken.
Well, it says if you lose a part, you pay $2 to $6 depending on the part.
Okay,
so they have like spares.
Toys. Yeah.
Now, the platinum. Deal is the best value.
Uh-huh.
10 toys a month.
Mm.
And that's $64.99 a month.
Yeah.
That's a lot. But you know, if you think you're buying these, I mean, one toy is like $30.
Right. But I mean, I warn anyone out there who has never had a baby yet, who's pregnant or planning to have a baby, and you think, oh, I'm going to have to buy all these toys for my child. Probably not. If your child has any grandparents at all, or, you know, any friends, if you have friends with older kids that want to get rid of their toys, just know that you might not, toys are not going to be the things that you need. If they had something like this for diapers, but that would be disgusting, wouldn't it?
Well, no, it's a diaper service.
Diaper service. But so I'm just saying it might be good for some people. I do know a lot of people that do buy toys for their kids because they, you know, they want to pick out the toys that they think their kids.
I'm trying to remember.
Like,
I think we bought toys. You know, Christmas. But that's the thing. I mean, I guess you could wrap this up.
Yeah.
Christmas is a big deal and you want to give them toys, you know.
But it's interesting too, like the, you know, we've talked a lot about those like fake computers or like
they get bored with them.
Well, yeah.
Or they might,
you know, we don't know. We've talked about like, well, I don't know. Your kid might not play with that Leapster or whatever
thing. And that's very expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And so I think they have some of those toys on there. So you could try them.
It's one of the great traumas of my childhood. I wanted this so badly, and I was probably fifth grade, sixth grade.
BB gun?
No. That's another story for another time. it was called the Getaway Chase Game.
Ooh.
And I think it was expensive for the time, and my dad got it for me, and I played with it once. And it bugged him that I never played with it, and it bugged me. And I felt really guilty. I still do.
Yeah.
In fact, I should call my dad.
You should.
I feel bad. No, but I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
You know, so this maybe would help with some of that.
Yeah. So babyplays.com. Check it out. I think it's really interesting. You know, some people have sort of said, well, that's very green because then you're not buying the new toys.
Right.
You're not. But I don't know if that's true. Like, I think they probably.
A little bit of UPS truckage.
Yeah.
Involved.
And I think their idea is that probably they'll get a lot of people just buying the toys, you know, not returning them, but just buying them.
Well,
so.
Let's try before you buy. That's not so bad.
Yeah. So and then we get to the give section. This was an interesting article I found on Charity Navigator. What to do when a charity calls.
Ugh.
This was interesting. It says 10 tips of what to do because, you know, now that we all are on the do not call list, that a lot of those organizations that were, you know, a lot of those telemarketing places are now working for charities because they don't have as many jobs because as many people can't be called. And so a lot of times, even if it's a charity, like they're paying those telemarketers a lot of money.
So nonprofits are exempt.
Right. A nonprofit can still call you and, you know, your own like utility company and stuff, your own credit card company can call you.
Yeah, I noticed that lately.
Yeah, definitely. So I thought this was interesting. So, you know, if you're planning on donating when someone calls, just make sure you ask them how much money goes to the charity. And by law, they have to tell you.
This comes up a lot. Jennifer gets a lot of calls. She donated once to the Police Athletic League.
Uh-huh.
And she gets a lot of calls from the Sheriff's Benevolent Association or things like that. And I think, I don't know. I think they're a little phony.
Things that sound like real charities. Yeah.
They don't say what sheriff or what county.
Right.
They just, and I think, you know, she always donates, but I think this would be good to give her and say, you know, you probably should ask a little bit. And I think one of the things I also tell her, is you can say, and I don't know if this is, it must be true for charities, please put us on your do not call list.
Mm.
And even if you're even if a charity is exempt from the registry, I think that they're required. I think everybody's required. If you say, please put us on your do not call list, they can't call you back.
Right.
Hey, speaking of calls, I hear Robert on the line.
That's me.
Robert Rummel Hudson. Hey, Robert, how are you? Leo Laporte here. Megan Maroney there.
I'm doing just fine. How is everyone there?
We're great.
Doing good.
Megan's been waxing ecstatic about your book.
Well, that's
yes.
Great to hear. That's really good to hear. You can wax ecstatically as much as you like.
Okay.
Stand in your way.
As I said at the beginning of the show, Robert Rummel Hudson has been writing online since 1995. And since 1999, a lot of his blog has focused on his daughter, Skylar. I guess it'd be good for Robert, for you to tell us the story. Where should you start? What do you think, Leo?
Yeah, I think just tell us. We mentioned a little bit about what happened when Skylar was born and diagnosed. But if you want to just kind of tell it from your point of view.
Well, when Skylar was born, we certainly had no indication early on that there were any problems, that there were any difficulties. She was a bright-eyed, very enthusiastic little girl like she's always been. When she was about a year and a half old, we had taken her to her pediatrician, and she started asking us questions about if Skylar was talking, if she was trying to talk, if she was, what kind of early sounds was she making? We had no idea. It was our first and only child, so as far as I was concerned, I had no idea. I had no idea when a child would start talking. But that sort of started a whole process of going through hearing tests and getting some sort of early intervention. When she was about 3 years old, so I guess it was about 2 years later, she was finally diagnosed. We had gone through all of these different, the hearing tests. She had gotten a sort of an autism spectrum diagnosis that didn't really sit right, didn't feel right with anybody. And it finally ended up with a neurologist doing an MRI scan. And it was that MRI scan that showed that she had a rare brain malformation called polymicrogyria. And it's hard to detect. I mean, the MRI or a CT scan are really the only ways to see it. And that was when things sort of changed for us, or they changed radically for us, because all of a sudden we had an answer. And it wasn't a developmental issue. It was an actual brain malformation. It was something that was static. It was always going to be there. It wasn't going to get worse, but it wasn't going to get any better.
So she could hear. Her cognition was normal, but
she just
never could speak.
In her case, her polymicrogyria manifests itself as primarily a speech issue. I know that some of the kids who get PMG get it a lot worse. Skylar, I've always said that she's sort of the luckiest of the unlucky, in the sense that she has a speech disorder, she has some fine motor issues, but some of the kids who get this suffer from some really pretty serious things, including seizures, which is, there's a pretty large chance that she could still develop seizures, but she's beating the odds, and we're gonna hope that she keeps beating them.
And your blog, you did something magical.
I did. It was, even now, all these, it's been 3 years, and it still amazes me. We did a fundraiser to raise money to get a speech device for her, an augmentative speech device. It was something that we had tried to go through our insurance company. We had tried to go through Social Security, because these devices are extremely expensive. Skylar's device, before even dealing with like service agreements and that sort of thing, it was almost an $8,000 device. And we finally decided, well, we'll do a fundraiser online, see if we can defray some of these costs. And we didn't just defray the costs. In about 5 weeks, we actually had raised enough money that we shut down the fundraiser page. We had enough money to do it. And it's funny, even now, I look back on that, and I almost don't believe it. when I look through the book and I get to that part, I'm like, oh, no one's going to buy this. But it was absolutely true. It was just an amazing thought.
Who were the donors? Do you know? I mean,
there were a few. There were a handful of people that donated sort of large amounts, but it was mostly just people who read the blog, people who heard about it on other blogs and donated small amounts, anywhere from like $5, $10, $20 up to maybe $100, $200.
Such a neat story.
People that were taken with her story. They saw this little girl who who wanted to communicate, and they thought, well, here's a way that we can do that. It was remarkable. Anytime I hear someone making fun of that phrase, you know, it takes a village to raise a child, I'm like, well, here's your village. Here's how that can actually be true.
Yeah.
So were these mostly parents that followed your blog after Skylar was born, or have these people been following you since you started writing online?
I think a large number of the people that were reading and are still reading are parents. I know that before Skylar was born, I was writing. I was just kind of silly, you know. Here I am on the internet, you know, these sort of I exist websites that are out there. But after we got pregnant with Skylar, I say we got pregnant. Julie heard me say that.
She'll get mad.
Smack me. Yep. But after that, my readership went up very, very quickly. And I'm not sure, I think a lot of that was maybe parents, maybe some people that were going to see just how badly I could mess up having a kid. But it was after Skylar was born that people really started paying attention. But I do think a lot of the people that follow her now are parents. And not just parents with special needs kids, but I think Skylar's story kind of reaches out to any parents, because the things that we went through for her are sort of universal experiences, you know, the sort of, you know, the uncertainties that we faced with her. I mean, every parent out there, I've never met a parent who's 100% confident and knows exactly what's going to happen.
Oh no, we can all live in your shoes.
And if they are that confident, it's a disaster waiting to happen. watch those parents, because they're going to have a fun story.
No kidding. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what one of the things I really liked about the book is. I was telling Leo before that I really, you always suspect, well, what's a blogger going to write in a book that I can't already see for free online? And I think with you, that's just absolutely, you know, you proved that wrong. It's a real memoir. And I love how, you know, you're just a regular person in the beginning and just a regular guy who has no idea what it's like to be a father. And that, you know, the first several chapters are just fascinating that way. It just, you really bring people in and, you know, I just really love it.
Do you consider yourself a writer foremost? I mean, I know you work at the University of Texas. You call the job the Minister of Propaganda.
Oh, it's funny, because that was the dean's description, because he couldn't remember what my job description was. We kept getting it wrong. So finally, he just started calling me the
That's a good
Minister
name,
of Propaganda
at the School of Architecture there. But do you consider yourself a writer first?
I'd like to. Now that the book is published, I can sort of take the air quotes off.
Yeah. But well, but it's too bad that people who blog have to put the air quotes on, frankly.
It's, you know, I think that's changing. I think the lines, the sort of traditional media versus the sort of new media, I think those lines are starting to blur. And it's not so much people that were blogging are now getting book deals, or any of that sort of thing. I think you're starting to see people now, even people who are established print, who've been established print writers, have been established in books, are now starting to do a lot of stuff online. You know, one of the writers that I always admired and who I maybe even emulated to some point was Anne Lamott, and the writing that she had done. She's done a lot of online work as well. I know she was working with Slate for a long time. So I think those lines are blurring, and I think that's great. I think it's absolutely great. I think blogging is turning into a medium that's going to continue, especially with all the political bloggers and following through the elections and whatnot. You know, we're gonna keep seeing those lines blur, and I couldn't be happier about that.
Yeah, no kidding.
So describe a little bit of what it was like in 1995 when you did put up your first blog, which obviously wasn't called a blog at that point because it was pre-blog.
Yeah, the first time I started writing online, it was actually, I was working in technical support at the same university that I'm working in now, but I was a student at the time. And my supervisor came in one day and said, well, here, look at this. This is this thing. It's the web, and people are starting, you know, some universities are starting to put up sites and kind of play around with it, see if this is something, because if it's something that maybe takes off one day, we're going to want to know what's going on. So it was an assignment to basically figure out the web, and because I was bored and slightly narcissistic, I thought, well,
what
I'll,
better way?
I'll learn this by developing my own sarcastic website. Yeah. So it really started off just as kind of playing around with the medium. You know, it's funny, a lot of people who have written online have done so anonymously. And I think I maybe shot myself in the foot a little bit, because I started off at the very beginning thinking, well, you know, there's a couple of dozen websites out there. You know, who am I hiding from? I don't know if I would have done it differently, because I don't think people who are writing anonymously, I don't think they stay anonymous for very long.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was putting it out there with my name on it at the very beginning. I'm not sure how wise that was, but
what the heck?
It's worked out. It's worked out.
It's SkylersMonsterBlog.com. SchuylerMonsterBlog.com. SkylersMonsterBlog.com. And you also have your own website, which is RummelHudson.com.
Mm-hmm. It's becoming more of a clearinghouse to point people to all the other stuff. It's funny, and I think a lot of people who've been online for a while get this sort of trail of websites that they leave behind.
I'm the poster boy for that. I got website. I don't even know what websites I have.
Every now and then I'll get a renewal notice for these domains, and I'm like, is that still out there? Good Lord, I need to go check that thing out.
So what I like about the Fighting Monsters with Rubber Swords, which is the Skyler's Monster blog, is it's kind of like a father-daughter blog. I mean, I guess you write it all, but but it feels like it's you and your daughter because of the picture on the head and stuff. I just love that feeling. I think that's really neat. I wish I could do that with my daughter.
Well,
start young.
Soon she's going to be old enough to start getting veto power.
Right. Start young if you're going to do that.
And I have no idea what I'll do for a career then when I don't have Skylar to support me. But she kind of keeps an eye. She very much watches the pictures that go up and I'll read things to her.
So how old is she?
She is 8 years old.
Oh, she's pretty old now.
Yeah, so she's starting to figure stuff out.
She knows
out.
What's going on. How does she feel about all of this?
Oh, she's thrilled. I don't think she quite gets the scope. I was chasing her around the store with A Good Housekeeping, which they had done an article, and it was this full-page picture of her. And we were at the grocery store, and I was like, Skylar, who is that? And I would open it up. So that was kind of fun, and People Magazine just did a review today that just started running. So it's fun for her. I don't know if she understands that most kids don't get to go to the bookstore and see their face everywhere. But one of the down the road when she starts to really understand kind of the scope of things, I'm hopeful that she'll at least see how I felt about her and have this as sort of, I described it recently as the best love letter I could write to Skylar.
What a treasure for her to have. I mean,
I hope that's how she takes it.
Yeah, when she's 14, she's going to hate you and hate everything you stand for. I just want to warn you.
My editor was asking if Skylar was going to write a rebuttal one day.
Yeah.
That's what's going to get me through
old age. So tell us, the device that you got, how does it work? What is it, a voice box? What does it do?
It's an electronic. It looks a little bit like a laptop. It has a touch screen, sort of like the little information kiosks you see in public places. And on this touch screen, it has a number of just these buttons. And the buttons will have little pictures and will also have the words. So she's getting a visual representation and also is learning the words, learning the spelling. And as she touches these buttons, they will give her words, but they'll also, the screen display will change. It'll kind of guide her through sentence structure, putting things together. So like if she was telling us she wanted to eat pizza, which is certainly a phrase we hear pretty often.
Does it it speaks in a voice?
It will speak in a voice for her. And it's actually a fairly natural voice.
So is it a girl's voice? I mean, are they trying to make it sound as if it's hers?
It is. It's for hers, it's a girl's. It's a little, like a little girl's voice.
You wouldn't
every now and then she'll like wipe out the settings just to
hello, father.
Exactly. And then this deep voice, and it's funny because I've actually started to identify that electronic voice with her. So if she wipes out the settings and all of a sudden it sounds like James Earl Jones.
There's a stranger in the room.
It's really upsetting to me.
Oh, how interesting.
I discovered that recently because she did it right in the middle of an interview too.
She did it on purpose?
She did it on purpose just to be a stinker.
Oh, what a wise guy.
And all of a sudden it's like, I want chocolate chip cookies. And she thought it was funny. Everyone thought it was funny, but I found it deeply disturbing.
Yeah, I can
and
see
it made me think. Well, I guess that's kind of a good sign because this has become in my mind, at least on some level, this has become her voice.
That's the monster.
And but it was a scary way to find out. Yeah. All of a sudden, I was like, "Well,
is she pretty expressive in it? I mean, does she feel like she can express herself fluently?"
She, it kind of depends on the circumstances. Like if she's doing homework or she's doing writing assignments, she will very carefully craft what she's saying. And it's really nice to watch. And she can come up with some pretty expressive stuff. When she's sort of on the fly, she will give very short answers. And it's something that on one hand, we'll try and discourage her. We'll say, put that in a full sentence. Make a full sentence. But don't push it too much because that's kind of how we all communicate.
Right.
What do you want for dinner? Pizza.
Right.
I think she's sort of learning a shorthand as well. But she's becoming fairly expressive. She uses the device. She also uses a little bit of sign language.
Oh, neat.
And she is actually quite verbal. It's hard to understand, but her inflections and her vowels are very expressive.
Really? So she knows how to do that, or you mean with her own vocal cords?
With her own voice. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And it's funny, if we're out in a restaurant or we're someplace in public and someone will do something for her where she replies, where she says thank you. Well, she's not saying thank you. If you take thank you and strip out all the sort of hard consonants, it's kind of what you get.
Oh, interesting.
But people will hear thank you.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they won't even realize that there's anything wrong.
Right.
So she's making her way with a combination of different communication techniques. But the device definitely gives her the option for some finesse. And as she gets older and as she is expressing more complicated conceptual things, it's just going to be better and better.
Well, and then she can type.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And there are even the newest version of the device that she has is actually a hybrid. I haven't seen this thing yet, but I want to. It's a hybrid between the speech device and like a Windows laptop machine that will go online and it will run all these different devices. So the technology the technology was so new when she started using this, and now it's already being surpassed. So I can't even, by the time she's in high school or college, I can't even imagine what she'll be using. So it's kind of fun to think about that.
Do you think she'll be a writer?
You know, there are some early signs that she wants to be a writer, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
Even if she does write the rebuttal, even if she writes, you know.
Oh, she will.
if there's a whole book out there about everything that I got wrong, yeah. I would still be thrilled.
Daddy Dearest.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But that doesn't matter. And, you know, I think given her disability, it would be natural for her to be a writer. I mean, that would be such a vivid way for her to be able to express herself.
I'm excited about the possibility. I mean, she started handwriting a lot of things now.
Interesting.
And she's fascinated with handwriting because it's not something she was really able to do sort of until the past year or so. So now anytime she wants to say something, she'll put it on her device, but a lot of times then she'll pull out she keeps a pad of paper with her all the time, which really makes me happy. I'm like, look at you, you're like a little writer. And she will start to spell out. And so she's starting to explore a lot of different communication options. And whatever she decides to do is,
of course,
the fact that I like the idea that she's going to make that decision.
Yeah.
That wasn't always an option that we thought was on the table.
Right.
And now that the idea of her saying, I don't want to do that, well, okay. You had that choice, and that's great.
So you're on a book tour now, or you're going on a book tour?
We're doing a little book tour through Texas. Tonight's actually the first the first signing, and it's actually at the Barnes & Noble that my wife is the events coordinator. So it's got to be a little family affair. And then we're going to go through the Dallas area, and then down through Houston and Austin and San Antonio. So, and Skylar will be at some of those. That's going to be, we'll see how that turns out. She gets a little enthusiastic. One of the nice things about Skylar and one of the kind of frightening things about Skylar, she is very unpredictable. So we'll see what she comes up with tonight.
There's a very moving point in a book where you're playing dinosaurs with her. She's a T-Rex and a brontosaurus. I guess she's playing dinosaurs.
Right.
And one dinosaur says to the other, I love you. And that's just, must have been a very moving moment.
It was. And to watch her incorporate her device into play was an early sign that she, of how much she wanted to be able to communicate.
Yes.
And although it's funny, she doesn't use her device when she plays much anymore. Now that it's become sort of old hat, she still she'll verbalize very much between all their little toys, but she'll do it vocally. Mm-hmm. And it's a little sad for me because, you know, these are moments I want to eavesdrop in.
Right.
Like any
You're left out, aren't you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I am. But, you know, I said something about that to someone recently, and they were like, you know, everyone's kids have a secret world. So, you know, Skylar's secret world exists kind of in front of all of us, but I guess in some way she's not all that different from any other kid out there.
I like it when you told the Vantage to say, Skylar eats boogers. And then she hits the button and says, no. And then she says, Daddy eats bugs.
She matches me no matter how mean or teasing
ornery
I am with her. She's the thickest skin of any kid I've ever met. The downside to that is I tell her things and she absolutely doesn't believe me. I've gotten to the point where I've joked with her so many times about, oh, don't go in there. There's a monster under there. Yeah, whatever. It's not gonna be in trouble if there's ever a monster, you know, in
Daddy.
The room. She'll charge right in.
Well, we really want to thank you for joining us and sharing the book. I can see why Megan likes this so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
What a great picture on the cover. Who took that picture?
I took that picture, and it was a total accident. I was taking pictures of her. It was the day we were going to see Santa Claus. That was actually the story I told in the book, and I was taking pictures of her, and I made some little joke to her, and it cracked her up, and she was laughing behind her hand. And I didn't even realize until later I was going through the pictures I'd taken. I was like, wow, look at that.
That's perfect.
People are going to think I'm a good photographer.
And then you have a picture on the blog of that cover in between Condoleezza Rice's story and Charles Schulz's biography. So that's perfect place for that to be.
People have been sending me pictures of the book placed between. We found pictures of the book next to like a Richard Nixon memoir. And all sorts of crazy.
Well, it's in biography. That makes
so
sense.
She's right there in some interesting company.
Rob, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
The book is Skyler's Monster, A Father's Journey with His Wordless Daughter, St. Martin's Press, Robert Rummel Hudson. And the website, probably, you know, you can go to rummelhudson.com, but go to skylersmonsterblog.com. That's where it all started.
That's where the fun is.
That's where the fun is. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Really appreciate
Thanks.
It. Take care.
Thanks.
Wow. I mean, just really touching and moving. But as a father of a daughter, that I really like is that notion of them as a pair, as a team.
Yeah.
I just love that.
Yeah.
It feels really good.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And the book's also at Amazon in addition
of
to other bookstores.
Of course. You know what I should check? I should have asked him if it's on Audible yet.
Oh, I think I might have checked and it wasn't.
It probably
but
isn't.
Maybe not yet. It just was published. And I meant to ask him what issue of People magazine he was in.
So it's probably, I mean, given when we're taping this, it'd probably be a late February edition, mm-hmm. right? Because he said going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can check that, and I'll put that in the show notes so you can check at jumpymonkeys.com.
And Skyler, one more time, S-C, if you're not Dutch, you probably don't know how to pronounce it. S-C-H-U-Y-L-E-R, Skyler's Monster Blog. Nope, it isn't on, too bad. But we have a good Audible recommendation for the folks, don't we?
We do, yes.
I should mention that, of course, Audible is our sponsor. We love Audible. And I know you will, too. If you don't yet listen to audiobooks, you must try them. And the best way is Audible, because you can download them when you want them. It's very satisfying. You know, you hear about a book, we recommend something, or you talk to friends, and you go there, you download it in minutes. You've got it, and you can listen to it on the computer. You can burn a CD. You could put it on practically any portable player. For some reason, not the Zune yet, but on all the iPods, the iPhone, the Kindle. The Zens, I mean, almost all the other players. And it's just a great way to get reading done in those times when you're normally just stuck driving the car in the commute. And, you know, there's nothing on the radio. You've talked to everybody on your cell phone. I was talking to somebody the other day. He said he would call people like his orthodontist and have a conversation because he was so bored in the car. I said, you should get Audible.
Oh, yeah.
Audible.com/monkeys is the place to go. Now, here's the deal for you. We've got this deal. You sign up there. And you will get a credit toward a free book. And there are 45,000 plus titles. I know it says on their page 40,000, but Audible told me it's now 45 and growing by thousands a month. And they have lots of ways for you to find books, which I really like. They have recommendations. You know, if you add a few books to your library, then they'll make some recommendations for you. They have Books We Love. They have Oprah's Book Club. They have Great First Listens. So there's a lot of places you can go, but we also like to recommend books, as all Audible users do when they get together.
Right.
What are you reading?
My Audible book club this month is reading Beloved by Toni Morrison. Have you read Beloved?
You know, that's a good one because I've started it and never in paper and never finished it. I know I could listen to this.
Yes, this is a fantastic
book. She reads it
book.
Too, right?
Yes, read by Toni Morrison herself. I read this twice. I read it in college, and then I don't know why I picked it up again to read afterwards.
Does that count?
No, I didn't see the movie, actually. Did it have Oprah in it?
Yeah. Oh, no, that was The Color Purple.
Yeah, I don't think there
Maybe
is
there
a movie.
Maybe there isn't a movie.
I don't think there
oh,
is
there
a movie.
Oh, there was a movie.
Okay, well, you check that online while I tell you how much I love Beloved, and this is, and I was thinking about it because, you know, it's a great story about the legacy of slavery, but also about motherhood and what
Oprah,
it's
Oprah
like.
Oprah was in it.
Really?
Jonathan Demme. Yeah,
I think it maybe wasn't supposed to be that good. I don't know if I saw it.
Maybe not.
I don't think I see it.
Yeah. Well, it was No Color Purple.
No, it wasn't.
That was a great
one. Was it on TV or was it?
1998. Jonathan Demme. No, it must have been it must have been a full. It was came out in.
But it's a fantastic
nominated
book.
For an Oscar. Three
really?
Wins, 20 nominations. Yeah.
What was it nominated for? Three wins,
special effects. I don't know.
I don't know.
See.
1998. I don't really remember 1998.
You know
too
why
long
we
ago.
Were too busy starting Tech TV.
Right. Exactly.
We weren't going to the movies.
So, Beloved, fantastic book. One of my favorite lines in all of books is in this line. It's actually Marco and I have it engraved on the inside of our wedding band.
Oh, I'm gonna cry.
I know.
Do you want to share that or is it secret?
It's secret.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. Maybe if we play a little bit of Toni Morrison reading the from Beloved, she'll just happen to say it.
Maybe.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be.
Let's see.
I'll tell you if she says it.
Toni Morrison reading Beloved. Just a little excerpt here.
Counting on a Cincinnati horizon.
That was it. That's inside your ring. Counting on a Cincinnati horizon.
No.
Mm-mm.
Reckless indeed.
Oh, that would be good in your ring. Reckless indeed. No? Okay.
And the girl Denver did what they could and what the house permitted for her. Together they waged a perfunctory battle against the outrageous behavior of that place.
You could tell she's a poet.
Mm-hmm.
Every word has meaning to her as she's reading this.
Yeah.
I think that you couldn't have anybody but Toni Morrison read this.
Yeah.
Because this is her heart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm downloading it right now.
You are?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that, that's the neat thing about all. So you just click add to cart.
How many credits a month do you have?
Well,
you just use up.
They don't like me.
Oh, you have like an old plan.
Old plan. They tried a couple of years ago. They sent me a pair of headphones and said, "Would you please change your plan?" Because I have a plan. Because I've been a member so long. I have original. It was used to be called the light. I think the light reader. Light that you'd get was. It's a very good deal. I don't think they offer it anymore. You get like $2 a month. For like nothing, for like $12 or something. I think it's now more expensive.
I think I pay $14 for one.
Mm-hmm. And you could also do a number of credits per year. They have a variety of different ways of doing it, or you can pay as you go.
I get two books a month
as a result, which is fantastic.
That is fantastic because I just keep checking my Audible. I don't know exactly when my credit goes back in there, but I always check.
And to their credit, they're letting me, I'm grandfathered in. Mm-hmm. They're not making me quit this. Let me see how many books I have.
You can also let your credits like build up if
right,
you can.
Right, you don't have to listen to them.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna say all the books I've ever see. That's the other thing about it. You keep your library, so you can go back
right, and see what you've read when you
and
forget.
You know, like any library, sometimes you want to reread a great book, mm-hmm. especially something like this. 309 books now in my Audible library.
Wow.
That's how many. So when I recommend Audible. This is something I do.
Yeah.
309. That's kind of neat. That's more books than in my bookshelf, probably.
That's fantastic.
Audible. Thank you. Give me a gold star. Audible.com/monkeys. We really, as you can tell, I really love them.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to listen to Beloved. I don't know why I never got that one before. Yeah. That's a perfect one.
Let me know how it.
I will.
In our next Jumping Monkeys
Book
Club. I told
you, I just finished The Keep and I loved it.
Yeah.
That was one you recommended.
Yeah.
And by the way.
Yes.
Somebody sent me an email saying that book you were reading on your book club on Audible, we just typed the wrong name.
What book was it? Persuasion?
No.
Oh,
that's a great book.
What?
I think I listened to that on Audible. I listened to Possessed on Audible.
Oh, it's different than Persuasion.
Well, Possession, Persuasion.
What book was it?
Girls Club. What was it?
Oh,
what was
I don't
it called?
Know. Girls Club.
Something like that. Oh, now I'm going to have to look this up. We do have
Was
some...
it us or was it, were you talking to Cammy? Or one of the other people.
I don't believe it was Cammy.
Huh.
I don't think Cammy and I ever... Are you in a book club?
I'm in a book club, and we talk about my book club, but I don't think I've... I often listen to my book club. I don't remember ever not seeing the book on Audible.
I'm going to find it for you.
Okay.
Because maybe it is Cammy. You know, it might have been Cammy's.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I'll have to
Because there was
this.
Nothing called Girls Club in my book club.
Somebody sent me a note saying you had the wrong name when you typed it in, and it is on Audible. But maybe it was something else.
Well, we're reading Water for Elephants this month. I just finished that.
Now, I read Water for Chocolate. Is Water for Elephants like the sequel?
No, Water for Elephants is totally
That's about
different.
The circus.
It is about
and
the
it's
circus.
It's a great book.
You read it?
No. but Jennifer, the whole time she's reading it, she said, you've got to read this
really?
Book.
I wasn't a huge fan, I got to say. It's not going to be an Audible pick.
Interesting, because when I heard what it was about the circus, I didn't really get all excited about it.
Well, here's something that's interesting. It's got a lot of details. It's about the circus in the 20s. It's got a lot of details. But, you know, I was thinking as I was reading it, I would have felt differently reading this book 10 years ago before Wikipedia. Because I feel like research is so much easier now that I don't know how she researched it. I'm sure she went to the Library of Congress or wherever and did, you know, maybe she went down into the depths and spent lots of time interviewing people and all that. But at the same time, like a lot of those specific information could just be found on Wikipedia and I don't know. I just feel like
that's why I used to love reading books by people like James Michener, because you felt like you were learning all of this, you know, all about Hawaii or the agony and the ecstasy. Mm-hmm. You were learning all about Michelangelo. But you're right now.
Yeah.
You know, authors don't have to do that kind of painstaking research.
Right. And that's not, I mean, and that's not to say that I think research is not just about like getting the facts, but it's how you use them. Right. I just didn't particularly enjoy this book.
You weren't interested in the circus. You just didn't care about elephants.
Well, I didn't enjoy the writing in this book. Other people would.
Jennifer loved it. It's not our pick. Our pick is Beloved, which nobody would contest. Everybody knows is probably one of the great books of all time.
Right. All right. Let's get some listener feedback. Do you want to?
I have some.
Okay. Do you want to listen to the listener feedback?
Yeah, we can start and then you can read one.
Okay.
If you wish to call our toll-free number. Our 707
If you wish to call our toll-free number, send us some money, and we'll get one.
But right now, it's on Grand Central from Google. It's 707-981-4602. And I like Grand Central because it just puts the messages online, and we can just play them.
Right.
You have three choices. You can have York, PA, Havertown, PA, or Downey, California.
Let's go to the one of the PAs.
Let's go to a PA, shall we? This is Havertown, PA.
Hey, Megan and Leo, this is Ron from Philadelphia. Just want to send you some feedback, a voicemail message, in regard to episode 34 of Jumpin' Monkeys. The YouTube clip of the week with the time lapse, the father playing Wii with his hand.
Yeah.
I got my own daughter in my arms, so I'm a little crazy right now. I wanted to suggest for the show a talk about slings. I've used the sling with my daughter. She's 7 months old and basically can have your baby in the sling and you can basically play Wii. You go food shopping, have both hands free. So just thought it would be a good topic for the show. And also for those Wii players out there, put a sling, put your baby in the sling, and you're good to go. So thanks so much for the show and have a good one. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. What a great call.
That was fantastic.
I use it. That's like a baby Bjorn, right?
A sling is a little different. A baby Bjorn, a sling, your baby's closer to you. It's like, you know, a cloth thing. We used to use that.
Yeah. So the Bjorn is more like a backpack, sideways, a front
backpack.
Yeah,
the Bjorn has a lot of clips and everything. And
we used to use a sling. It's basically just fabric.
Yeah. Right.
And
it goes over
I
the
loved
shoulder.
That. Yeah. And there was such a nice, close feeling.
Yeah. Good for bonding, but better for playing Wii.
And which is also good for bonding. Well, thank you. That was a great call.
That was a great call.
707-981-4602. You have a email?
I do. Let's see if I can find this email. I have two emails about They Might Be Giants that we talked about a few weeks ago.
Them.
The first one comes from Jonathan. He says that the They Might Be Giants do the theme song for at least two of the most annoying shows on the Disney Channel. These shows, of course, happen to be my 18-month-old son's favorite.
Naturally. Hey. Pretty soon I'll be watching Barney. Then you can really have fun.
And he says, They Might Be Giants used to be such a cool band, but I'm afraid they've taken a path slightly sadder than our beloved 80s new wave stars Devo.
Oh, no.
This is the opinion of Jonathan only. And he says, but as you guys might know, Mark Mothersbaugh, the lead, lead singer of Devo, composed the totally awesome music for the Rugrats and is now regular on Nick's children's show, Yo Gabba Gabba.
He also is responsible for music in a lot of movies. He's one of the best. There's two guys who are really great at doing music for movies, and he's one of them. He's one of fantastic.
So I still like They Might Be Giants. I still think they're cool.
John and John just have to make a little money from now and then. That's
and
all.
So does
Higgledy Town.
Aaron in Sarasota. She says, our family purchased They Might Be Giants Here Come the ABCs after it was suggested in the spend category. We have totally loved it. The combo DVD and CD is great.
Yeah.
The songs are rocking and the animation is amazing and original. We loved it so much. I pre-ordered Here Come the 1, 2, 3s after Christmas, counting the days, and it's as great as the first one. There were a few more music videos on the first album, but this is a perfect length to chill out a rambunctious two-year-old and her nerve-plucked prego mom.
The thing, I think they were one of the first mainstream bands to start doing kids' music that was smart,
right,
that wasn't patronizing, that parents liked as much as kids. They're kind of the Shel Silverstein, if you want, of rock bands. You know, you're not the boss of me now. I'm sorry. I know that's a theme song, but that's a great theme
that
song.
That is, yeah.
I stand up for my guys, Jonathan. Maybe that was John just writing because he just felt like he'd sold out. I don't know. I have a soft spot for them because they came on the Screensavers 3 or 4
times.
Yeah,
they
did. Remember them playing live for us?
Boy, I did, yeah. Yeah.
Several times.
I still have your Dial-A-Song CD. I found it the other day. I need to return it.
No, you can keep it. I already ripped it.
I have ripped it too, of course.
Okay. Better you than me because you should see what happens to CDs in my house.
Yeah.
They just get stacked up. And
oh, did they get Play-Doh stuck on them?
Yeah,
and
they're just
spun
useless.
Around,
but fortunately, I kind of did a project early on to get them all on disc.
Yeah.
I mean, on the computer. You want to hear another one? Let's go to Downey, California. Now, I have to warn you, I have not previewed these in any way. So who knows what we're going to get here.
Who knows?
It's probably good because we have good listeners, but this is short.
Hello, Megan, Leo. Yeah, I've listened to the last two episodes prior to the one being released. For this week, I got a suggestion for an old computer in the kid's bedroom.
Yes.
Yeah. If you just blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Well, if you do that, I think it'll be okay. See, this is probably why I should have listened ahead. He called not too long ago. Maybe he'll call back and finish that.
What do you think that suggestion was going to be?
I don't know. Blah blah blah. That was pretty funny. I'm going to leave that in.
Yeah. I think, he was talking about our poll
Henry's
that we did.
Begging for a computer in the bedroom.
Yeah.
He's discovered MySpace. Now, he doesn't go on porn sites or anything like that. He can't, but he doesn't even try.
Yeah.
Because I go through OpenDNS and there's no way he could. But he just is on MySpace. He doesn't even go anywhere but MySpace. And he just chats back and forth with his friends. It's how they socialize. My wife doesn't get it. I said, look. Used to be, when you were 13, you were on the phone the whole time, right? He doesn't do that.
Yeah.
He texts and he messages on his MySpace. So what we said is it has to be after home. I just actually printed out a contract.
Oh, a contract. That is a really good idea, the family contract, the
and
family
he,
internet
he
contract.
He worked on it with me. So he provided, and we went back and forth. We negotiated. The deal is homework time is 7 to 8. He can get on MySpace from 8 to 9:30, and then it's bedtime. He's got or MySpace or whatever screen time he wants. And that's, so it's an hour and a half a night, and that's all.
And is it a laptop, you said? Or?
Well, no, it's not going to his room, though. It's the iMac downstairs right by the kitchen, which he hates.
Yeah.
Because he says, you guys are always looking. I said, I don't look over your shoulder at your stuff. I really don't. I'm not interested in that. As when I see that you're on MySpace, that's all I'm interested in. I want to see what you're doing.
Right.
I'm not too worried about what kind of weird stuff you're typing.
Yeah.
Because I know it's weird and I don't want to know.
It's crazy because I feel like when my kids are, 13, it's going to be something totally different.
It is.
It's like why I don't even, sometimes I think, what's going to happen when my kids are on MySpace? But they probably won't be.
No, it won't
It'll be
MySpace.
Something totally different.
In fact, it may not, it was IM for a while. And I think that MySpace kind of superseded IM. Abby spent a lot of time on iChat and AIM. Henry's doing a little bit of AIM. But I think that was a phase.
Yeah.
They don't do the instant messenger as much as they used to. And I think that's part of it. Dvorak's always said that. He said, let them play the video games because they get sick of them.
Uh-huh.
If you don't let them play, then they always want to play.
Right, exactly.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't
but that's
know
his
either.
Philosophy.
I don't know. Yeah, it's good. All right, do you want to try to listen to that last voicemail?
York, PA, ladies and gentlemen. This is even shorter than the other one. Are you ready? I don't know what it's going to be.
Hey, Megan and Leo. That was the funniest jumpy monkeys ever. Me, priapism, and vasectomy. I had to keep rewinding.
That was dad gone.
Also, I want to see the dorky hat. Bye.
Was that dad gone
mad? Dad gone mad, yeah, the whole
priapism.
I've recovered from the vasectomy talk, I think, but yeah, I got a lot of email about
any,
that
any Everyone hate mail
went, no I mean maybe people unsubscribed but I don't
we, it
no,
wasn't
I,
that adult.
I had a lot of people who are glad to hear the male
that's
side
part
of things.
Parenting is not parenting
yeah
arranging not to parent again.
Exactly. Well, and I'm just, when I say like people were saying they were glad to hear the male side, it wasn't just males, but females too. Sure, they wanted to hear about that. Yeah.
Well, so I think it's a, you know, I want to encourage other guys to get vasectomies. It's a really, it's not a complicated procedure. It seems more scary than it is. Mm-hmm. It's easier than getting, for a woman to getting a, her tubes tied or other forms of contraception. It's certainly safer and healthier. Mm-hmm. It's permanent. But, you know, I had two kids. I'm done. We reproduced ourselves. We believe in zero population growth. We didn't want to go more than that. So.
I believe zero population growth is that you wouldn't have any children,
no,
right?
No, that would be negative population growth. Zero would be we reproduce ourselves. So there's two of us.
Okay.
We have a total of two kids. That's zero, right? If we didn't have any kids, that would be a negative
right, because you're going to die.
Loss, because we're going.
Okay, got
sad
it.
To say, but I know this is a hard thing for me to talk about right now. I'm not going to always be here, Megan.
You will always be here.
Well, thanks.
Online.
Thanks to the intranet.
All right, I have one more email from Teresa.
Yes,
she says, love the show. Just started subscribing through Zune and get to listen on my way into work and back every day.
Hey.
She says, springing this on to you, hopefully you'll remember. As a teacher, I was really interested in the comic strip maker that Leo talked about on the Macworld show. He said he was helping his son with a project on the Wright Brothers with it. What was the name of that program?
I love
and
this.
And where can I find it?
It's from Plask. PLASQ.com, and it's called Comic Life, and highly recommended way to motivate boys, especially. You know, his assignment was they were studying the Wright Brothers. Write a kids' book about the Wright Brothers, and it was hard. You know, one of my draw pictures, and I said, well, let's what you do with Comic Life. And by the way, you'd have fun with it just as a family thing. It's not very expensive. I think it's $30 or $40. You could try before you buy. Is you can you take pictures from your iPhoto library, real pictures. You drag them into a comic book layout, and then you process them automatically to look like comic books. Mm-hmm. And you could put thought balloons. So you can. So no artistry necessary. So we took all pictures of the Wright Brothers bicycle shop and of the Wright Brothers themselves. And I took a picture of Henry, making this kind of disdainful face. And I made him a recurring character in the comic. So I had the Wright Brothers, and I had Orville Wright saying, "Someday man will fly." And then Henry's face is there. Yeah, right. And then the next page, you know, they were trying these experiments with kites, and Henry said, "It'll never get off the ground." And then finally at the end, they fly, and Henry says, "See, I told you so. They're great." You know, it was so that made it for him.
Right.
Kind of fun and personal and creative. Of course, he's never touched the program since. But that's just my boy. He's on to other things called MySpace. But I do recommend this. This is a great company. They do Sketch, which for grownups is a really useful graphics program on the Macintosh, but I highly recommend Comic Life. Oh, I love this. Let me just see. Oh, it's cheap. It's $25. $25. And they have Leopard tools that are later this year they're going to come out that will take Comic Life to the next level.
Ooh.
To the next level.
That's exciting.
That's about any day now. PLASQ. No K. I don't know where that K came from. PLASQ. I wanted to make a rhyme. .com. They're I think they're Australian.
Huh.
Can't remember. Anyway, they're great.
Well, you can send me an email.
Please
at
do.
Megan@twit.tv. You can also call us. It's not a toll-free number, but if you leave it short, you know, it won't be that much. And I highly recommend the free long distance that you can get from some telephone providers these days.
You do?
Yeah. We have free long distance.
You do?
Yeah, it's like Comcast. You know,
free?
It's digital phone line.
Oh, but you pay for the
right,
like a monthly
but
fee.
It's all,
but it's unlimited
know, I guess,
long distance.
Yeah. I constantly call people and
You know, my mom calls us and says, "I'm going to hang up and you call me back because it's very expensive." And I think she probably has Lifeline service or something, because so it is probably expensive.
Expensive,
but I want to say, "Mom, you know, $20, $25 a month, you could have unlimited."
Right.
But we're the only people she calls. So since it doesn't cost us anything, we just call her back.
Yeah. Do you have our phone number?
I do. I just wanted to mention, because people I know are following closely what I give my mother for her birthday, that she, that's facetious. That's a joke. She didn't want Netflix again this year.
Oh.
She said she falls asleep during the movie.
Mm.
So I gave her XM Satellite Radio.
Ooh.
Which I think she's going to really like, because it's got all these classical stations. She loves classical music. I already had given her some iPod speakers that sound really good, so she can just plug it into that. Anyway, we'll let you know how that works.
Excellent.
I like to give her gifts that she can use all year. That's why Netflix was such a good gift.
Yeah.
Expensive. It's a couple hundred bucks, but boy, that was neat.
Mm-hmm.
Not us. Our phone number 707-981-4602. Nobody will. Oh, I didn't ever update the, I wonder if the answering machine's working again.
Oh yeah. Well, probably because all those people
nobody
called.
Said anything.
Yeah.
So let's see what our greeting is. This is what you'll get. So just so this is good because then people will hear ahead
of
time.
Hi, this is Megan. Thanks for calling Jumping Monkeys.
If you'd like to leave a message for our show, just record it, but make sure it's not too long.
Yeah, short.
Sure. And we should warn you because the lawyers say so. We may use this on the Jumping Monkeys netcast. So by leaving this message, you're giving us permission, okay?
Nope.
No, I'm not gonna play anymore. So you'll have to. You want to hear the rest of the message?
Good tease, Leo. Good tease.
707-981-4602. No lawyers will call. We don't have any lawyers. I made that point up.
I have a lawyer. I don't know about you.
Do you have a lawyer?
No.
Do you get in trouble a lot?
Okay. I think we're done.
We're done.
We're done.
Thanks for joining us. That's our, you know, every show has to have an out.
Right.
You know, another twit is in the can or another MacBook.
We're done.
Broke.
I'm leaving.
Bye.